You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're going to talk about empathy. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchable. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone, but most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect that you have to agree or disagree, but what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. You know, Amy, I think that the last couple of weeks I've been doing presentations, and the whole subject of how children develop empathy, are there certain things that you teach to create that? Are children less empathetic now than they were, say, 10 years ago? I mean, there seems to be some concern that children are not as empathetic as they might have been. Have you noticed that too?
You know, I haven't had a lot of questions about it when I've been out presenting and that type of thing. But when you mentioned it, it got me thinking a lot in terms of, you know, how childhoods are different now, and you know what might be some of the driving forces by, you know, that are causing people to have these thoughts.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to indicate that children are the same now as they were 10 years ago really is a wrong statement, because the influence is so different. So I think part of the challenge is that people have sometimes a confused definition or understanding of what empathy is and how it develops. And I'm always indicating that a child really can't have empathy towards someone else until they recognize that somebody else exists. And they have to have a clear understanding of themselves first before they can begin to recognize that somebody else has feelings, that I have to hang around somebody that I have to care about, those kinds of things. And I think that's real difficult for very young children, especially toddlers, you know, because they happen to be placed in a group, but they're still individuals that are in that group.
Right. And, you know, I know adults who don't have empathy. And in terms of being able to, you know, when people talk about teaching empathy, I just don't think you can. I think it's one of those things that just, you know, children learn as they develop, and they learn it by watching and the models that they have in their lives. It's not something that you can directly, okay, today we're having a lesson on empathy. Not that any of us in a play-based program would ever do anything remotely close to that. But I feel like a lot of times that's what people are asking for.
Yeah, I think they want some teaching mode or teaching method that will help kids be more empathetic. And I agree with you. I don't think that it's something you teach. I believe it's something you model. Maybe the question is, where are the positive role models and what are they modeling? So if you're an adult and you're yelling at a child, to me that doesn't show empathy or compassion. So children will pick that up and maybe do the same kind of behavior, because that's what they see the adults whom they somewhat care about doing.
Right. And so, you know, it goes back to looking at how other children are treating them. If you're, you know, within mixed age groups, if older children are welcoming to younger children, because of course they look up to the older children that are there. It comes to how the adult interactions are coming into play. And like you said, it takes, you know, until the children can be aware of other people exist before they're really able to comprehend what empathy is.
And you know, I think part of the empathy goes back to also, forming that sense of attachment, which I know we talked about at another podcast. But that whole idea that you have to really feel like a part of a community, a part of a setting, a part of a group, and to recognize that others exist. Now, I keep thinking about the child who pushes another child down because they want to get on the trike. That doesn't mean that the child it doesn't have empathy. It just means that they want to get on the trike first, and that's where they are developmentally. So when they push them to get on, I think that some people confuse that as a child who might not be empathetic.
Right, and where the that child has absolutely no comprehension of the the feelings or the concerns of the other child. Like you said, they just want that trike.
Right. So I think it's important that adults not say things like be kind to your friend, be nice to your friend, say some kind words, choose another kind word, those kinds of statements, because I think the definition of kind, even for adults, is very abstract. And I think it's okay to say, I'm sorry that he hit you. Because I think that's a good modeling from the adult, as long as we're not asking the child to say it. But I think it's okay to say to a child who's been maybe hurt accidentally, or in some cases just because they were in the way, I'm sorry that you're hurting. What can we do to make that feel better? I think models empathy, don't you?
Definitely. And Dan, we're talking about the adults modeling the empathy. I was trying to think. There was a study done, I want to say, gosh, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I don't know if you heard about it or not, but one of the things that they found, and this is a major perk of mixed age classrooms, is that having infants around young children, and even around, I think they were looking at up to high school students, having contacts with infants tends to increase empathy. Because, and I'm a little fuzzy on the story, but there was quite a bit of information that came out about it when it did. But because when very young children, like infants who cannot do things for themselves, the amount of modeling that is there, increases a positive model for the other children around. So, mixed age classrooms where infants are involved, children tended to develop empathy sooner than those who did not have any contact with younger children.
And I think it's because they observed and watched and modeled the nurturing component, that if the infant or smaller child needed some assistance, the child seemed to be readily available to give that. Now, that doesn't mean every child does, but and I agree with your observation of that study is the fact that the children, when you have a mixed age group, I've seen school agers support and help preschoolers build tall buildings with blocks, when they might not do that when the younger child isn't around. They'd rather do it themselves. But I have seen that kind of support. Where young children are sometimes given support by different age groups, that kind of thing. I'm wondering, I've observed where some children tend to demonstrate more empathy than others. And I think there's a question about whether or not the child who demonstrates empathy is a better child than the child who might not do as much. So I think there's a confusion with people there that we kind of like kids who say the please and the thank you and I'll care for you and oh, that's too bad and I'm sorry and all those kinds of things versus the child that runs away when he or she might hit somebody in that component. So I think we give messages that are really different for those two types of children.
I think as a whole, that does tend to happen a lot. I've observed that a lot myself, but being aware of that and being cognizant of the fact that, the child who may be saying please and thank you and sorry, or or those types of things, they may be doing it just because they were told that they had to do it, and they aren't really they're not really more empathetic either. And, you know, the child who runs away may actually be really sorry, but they have, you know, they don't have the skills and that yet to do that because they had no idea of the impact of what their actions were going to be. So I think that as, you know, someone who works with young children every day, it's really important to be aware of those two pieces, because the child who is, you know, using their manners and appears to have empathy may not truly have empathy. They just have the societal norms that, you know, okay, when that happens, I'm supposed to say this or I'm supposed to do this. Versus, you know, someone who may not say those things may be really sorry, but they don't know how to express themselves.
Right. And sometimes they just say sorry because they want the adult out of their face, too.
Right.
And they know that that works, that sometimes if you say sorry, then the adult stops talking to you or disciplining you or doing something, and therefore I can go back to doing what I want to do. So, and we don't want to create that kind of climate for children, because I agree with you that it's not the words that's important, it's the actions. And it's really difficult even for adults to demonstrate the action that's related to being sorry, because that means you have to change, essentially. And to be aware of that is really an abstract thought. So it's important to realize that children really aren't there yet in terms of their development. It doesn't mean they're mean. It doesn't mean they're cruel. It just means they're not there developmentally. So I've seen toddlers even stand, and when toddlers are laying on the floor doing an activity, I've even seen a toddler stand on a toddler's head to look out the window at something, and the toddler whose head he's standing on is crying, but the toddler who's standing on it didn't even recognize that that cry existed or that that child really existed. It doesn't mean that he's less empathetic. It just means he wanted to see out the window, essentially, and the head happened to be there.
Right. And I think a lot of this too goes back to, you know, we talked about modeling and we talked about all those things and normal child development. In order for a child, you know, to develop empathy, they first have to have that strong sense of self. And that's the stage that they're in. And it's all part of meeting children where they're at and, you know, and not trying to put that adult lens onto things that we like to do also all too often, I think.
What do you think about, there's a theory that where you model the words for children, especially as it relates to feelings, like if somebody hits somebody, you're using the words like, did you want his hand in your face? Did that hurt? Do you want it to tell him to stop? Do you think that those kinds of things are effective?
I go back and forth with this, Dan, because I think it's really important for us to work with children to let other children know, you know, what their needs are, to help children be assertive when
yes.
when they're being hurt. And I think it's important for us to do that for the child who is being hurt, not so much for the child who may have hurt the other child. So that when we're doing that, we know clearly that we are trying to empower a child when something is done to them and not necessarily change something with the other child, because developmentally, I'm not always sure that they're ready for that. But I think it's really important that we model language and we model ways for children to be assertive about their own needs.
Right, and I think you're right. I think it's more important that we focus on the child that received the action that they didn't like versus the child that gives it. And sometimes we're focusing on the wrong child. The other thing is we want two children to talk about their feelings together and how one dislikes what the other one did, and that's all fine and dandy in a nice, lovely world. But in most cases, that child doesn't care to even listen, in some cases, to what the child is saying. But it's important that that child have the opportunity to say it. So I'm the person that they tell it to sometimes, or another child is the person that they tell it to. Because I think being able to talk about what you don't like or what you want that child to do is really crucial in developing empathy.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, having all of the words and, you know, being able to understand and express your own feelings will help you then later understand the feelings of someone else.
Right. And so I think that some people get confused because they want to buy some books that might relate to teaching empathy. I know I've seen some things relating to bears stealing bears, being kind to each other, and there's the book I Love You Forever, and I know I'm going to get creamed about this one because everybody loves the book I Love You Forever, and I'm thinking, wait a minute here, that's not true.
Not everybody loves
It's
it,
not true. Or playing or singing some songs like If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands, doesn't really, I think, demonstrate true feelings in most cases. It's kind of a facade. And so I would rather do things with children that are real and point them out in terms of present tense. You didn't want him to hit you now. Tell him you didn't want him to hit you. You know, those kinds of things. You don't want to be called that name. Tell him what you want to be called. To me, shows respect, which leads to empathy eventually.
Right. And you know, if you are going to use things, because I know it's a hard transition sometimes for people, because you know, Dan, everybody loves If You're Happy and You Know It. If you are going to do that, then change it. Change it so that they're more realistic things that, you know, when you're happy, what kinds of find out what children do when they're happy and let them make that action, or ask them what they do when they're angry and do those types of actions. But you know, doing the same old clapping your hands for the different emotions just doesn't cut it.
Right. I can't believe that either one of us properly clap our hands when we're happy. You probably.
No, I don't think I've ever clapped my hands just because I was happy.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I keep telling people if you find me on the corner clapping my hands when I'm happy, they'll probably lock me up, essentially. This is just not a typical kind of response, at least for me. Now, there might be some children who clap their hands for excitement, because I've seen very young children do that. But sometimes it's modeled by the adult, just like patty cake or anything else. They really don't understand what the concept is. So I would rather we do experiences with children that are real, that are present tense. So like you indicated, asking children what they do when they're happy or what they do when they're angry, because when you're developing empathy, you really need to be recognizing all feelings, not just the happy feelings that people seem to want children to have. I think part of the probably the most the, one of the biggest challenges of developing empathy is a child who might hit another child and then smile while they do it. Because I know that some adults are thinking that that child should go to hell or something of that sort. Because you know the child recognizes that this is going to get some reaction by the adult, and smiling seems to really edge the adult towards not being able to recognize why or what the child did. Don't you think so in terms of those behaviors?
Oh, yes, a smiling child doing something that is probably developmentally appropriate, but the adult looks at it through the adult lens and says, "Oh my gosh, they're being malicious."
And in some cases, that child is shunned by other adults because they don't like what the child is doing, which certainly doesn't model the empathy that we, if that's your goal in terms of the practice.
Right. And Dan, it made me think of a story from lunchtime. I think it was a couple weeks ago. There was some lunchtime conversation going on, and a little girl was talking about her carrot being a rocket ship. And the little boy sitting next to her goes, "Will it hurt your feelings if I tell you I don't like your rocket ship?" And she said, "Well, yeah." And then he got a big old grin on his face, looked at my husband, looked at the little girl, and goes, "I don't like your rocket ship." And
Oh, look.
that is, you know, some people would look at that and go, okay, but then you have to look at it through the lens of this young child who is clearly being told certain things that certain, you know, by adults in their life, and going, okay, now you're trying to play through all of the different reactions that come of this because somebody's clearly had a conversation about you about hurting other people's feelings.
Right, and I love the fact that he had to look first in his audience to see whether how many people he had in his audience before he made that response. And the great thing is he knew that he could say it and wouldn't get in trouble for it. And to me, that teaches empathy and compassion, being able to recognize that you're in an environment that allows you to say, I don't like your rocket ship. In terms of that approach. And I think that's a lot of what empathy is all about, is recognizing that we all have different needs and different understandings, and it just takes a while for that to develop. And in some cases, as you indicated earlier in our podcast, that there are adults who still have not developed the skill in recognizing. And I don't look at them as bad people. I just look at them as people who haven't developed empathy yet.
Right. And, you know, when you need someone to see things from your perspective, you seek out someone who you know who has. So we seek out different people at different times for different things. So it's an important thing to remember there, too.
Right. And I think the children do the same thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, it's thanks so much for letting us shake some bones about the subject of empathy. If you have questions or want continued discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can contact me via email at amyahola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more bone rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.